Welcome to episode 64 of the Bomber Brothers podcast, part of the Pinstripe Alley community of podcasts. Sean and Ryan here for another week to talk about the latest around the Yankees and baseball as a whole. And we're inching closer to live actual baseball as long as nothing gets in the way of that, like a virus that's spiking in surrounding states. But We'll see what happens. There's still trouble in camps like the Blue Jays where there were positive cases, but at the same time, there's also players reporting to camp. We have pictures of some Yankees arriving at camp at Yankee Stadium, masked up and ready to go. So, Sean, if all goes according to baseball's plan, we will have baseball this month.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of, I think it was Glaber and what's his face, Gio.
Yeah,
arriving off the bus, and I somebody said they're not arriving in masks, they're arriving in masks. So that was funny. So it's nice to see them coming, but we've seen now players are already opting out of playing, right? Zimmerman, Desmond, and Mike Leake. Isn't it interesting, too, that Mike Leake's service time was exactly there to get him his full pension?
Yeah.
So thankfully they didn't jerk him around with that early in his career, and it makes a big difference down the road. I'm excited that they're reporting back. I think Gerrit Cole's updates with him like on the mound before like even everybody came back has kept me pumped up. Glaber's been doing his home workout videos on the Yankees Twitter, which has been interesting. And I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. We're seeing the resurgence, and it seems like the mask thing is starting to be promoted a little bit more heavily. Like I've seen in Kansas City, there was like an ad, like, if you care about Patrick Mahomes, please wear a mask. So at least it seems like more people are getting on the train to wear a freaking mask, which, shouldn't be that difficult to do. But for some reason, it has been. Hopefully people start acting smarter and we can get some baseball, because that's the only way it's going to happen is if people listen to the medical health professionals.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at states like where we are, which is New Jersey and Connecticut, where masks have been mandated for a while now, the trend in virus cases has gone down, and in other places where those kinds of precautions have been much more lax and the states reopened sooner, that's where we have a lot of trouble right now. So hopefully they can be contained in those states like Florida and Texas and North Carolina. That way we can continue on this path toward having baseball and live sports. I'm certainly still skeptical and a little nervous, but like you said, it's even in spite of that, it's still exciting to see players reporting to camp and knowing that they're starting to get ready for a potential season, which of course will only be 60 games, but it's still baseball, so I will still be excited if it indeed happens, especially because it seems like Brian Cashman had a good amount of positive news in terms of some of the injured Yankees and their prospect of being ready for opening day. Of course, some of those weren't exactly positive, like after initially reading them. Like, for example, Aaron Judge, we're very optimistic right now that maybe his proclamation that he would be ready opening day and in the lineup will ring true. That's what Cashman said about Aaron Judge being ready for opening day, as he's still recovering from a cracked rib and a punctured lung. He's resumed hitting and throwing activities. But, you know, you just, I don't know. You see a quote like that and you're just like, okay, it's like your typical, we're optimistic, but there's definitely in a couple weeks probably going to hear something like, okay, like now we're not so sure. And we'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's still about 3 weeks to go, but what's your hopes for Judge being in the lineup on opening day, July 23rd?
24th? I was just going to say, do you think Judge or Cashman is just looking around at what's going on in the country and being like, I'm just going to go out there and be positive because there's no way we're playing. And it's just like, I can totally see him doing that. But no, I don't know. I mean, there was a video of him hitting I saw online, and yeah, that's encouraging, right? I mean, he's taking some swings. It looked like he was doing it at a like Little League field or something. But I mean, I'm hopeful, man. He sounds like he's ready. He's been proven to be kind of a slow healer. But, you know, it's been so much time. Hopefully he's completely healed now. And, you know, and they could have the whole outfield intact. You know, Hicks could be back. You have Stanton.
Well,
whatnot.
Isn't Stanton expected to just be DH?
Yeah, I mean, you have Gardy too, but we'll see. I don't know though. I think there's a good chance that Judge is in there on opening day. I mean, it's got nothing to do but heal. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, what about Stanton though? He's been dealing with that strained calf, and Cashman said that Stanton will be good to go, but that it will likely be as a designated hitter because he hasn't really done many outfield drills yet.
Oh, good, because he was just doing drills when he strained that calf. I mean, come on. I'm getting frustrated with him, man. Like, do you strain your calf doing outfield drills? You've had nothing to do but rest from March to July, and you're still, like, not in shape to play? And I know – not in shape, when I say that, it's not like, oh, he's coming to camp, not in, you know, not strong, but it's just like, you're not flexible enough to play right now. Like, that rubs me the wrong way, man. I don't know. Like, he's probably better suited to be a DH anyway, but imagine if he could play left field, like he came in a little bit more limber. He played every day in right field in the National League just 2 years ago. I'm getting kind of frustrated.
Yeah, it's definitely been this has definitely been a lot more long lasting in terms of injury issues. I mean, we definitely always kind of were quick to stick up for Stan because of that track record of playing every day in the outfield in 2017 and then pretty much playing every day in the outfield in 2018, even when he was dealing with some nagging injuries. So Once he ran into those injury problems in 2019, it was kind of easy to stick up for him because of those last 2 years had literally just happened. So, but now we're coming on, you know, into 2020. This is getting to two full seasons where there have been a lot of injury problems. And if he was dealing with a strained calf back in March and wouldn't be ready to play the outfield in late July, that's certainly a much longer recovery time than you would expect for injury.
We'd be flipping out right now. Like, if the regular season just had been going on as normal, we'd be flipping out right now about what the hell's going on with Stan.
Yeah.
And Judge. I mean, yeah, it's crazy. But that's the Yankee baseball we've become accustomed to as of late.
Yes,
guys get hurt, never come back, and I think that's the thing that worries me the most about the shortened season is, you know, if any of this crops up, we're done.
I mean,
you know, you can't if you get a guy that goes down for 20 games, it's a third of the season, and the Yankees never stay down for just 20 games. It's always a much longer process.
So then we also have Aaron Hicks and James Paxton are the other two And it looks like they could both be back for opening day. I'm sure with Hicks, there's going to be a lot of just conditioning and getting game ready. And for Paxton, Cashman seemed pretty adamant that he's going to be ready to go. He's completed his rehab, so now he just has to, you know, treat this spring training 2.0 like a spring training and just, you know, get game ready over these next 3 weeks and build his stamina up. So especially with Severino out, it'll be nice to have Paxton on the opening day roster after that back surgery back in February. And then with Hicks, with the Tommy John surgery, it could turn out being that he had Tommy John surgery and then not miss a game.
I think they said he'll be the first person in baseball history to have TJ and not miss a game. So good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I think Hicks is a huge X factor this year, and having him back would be huge. Cause I mean, aside from Gardner, you have no other bat from the other side when you're facing a right-handed pitcher. Like, Hicks provides a lot of good pop from the left side. And I mean, we've seen him come up big with, you know, big all the time. I think his presence helps the Yankee lineup, and having a power hitting switch hitter is something that I think we took for granted many times, whether it be Bernie and Posada or Posada and Teixeira. Really good Yankee teams always had that combination, and you could even throw Nick Swisher in there too. But having a really good switch hitter is extremely valuable, and I think it'd be really important to have him, and especially if you're going to have to ease guys into it, give Aaron Judge some rest, give Stanton some rest. Like, being able to rotate with Hicks, Gardner, Judge, and Stanton if he's ever able to play the outfield, or Tyler Wade if he's there to play the outfield, that'd be huge. I mean, just more professional hitters in your lineup.
Yeah, so we'll see. As I'm kind of expecting, as we get closer to opening day, there's going to be more uncertainty about if at least a couple of those guys are going to be ready for the start of the season. Obviously, there'll be questions on if baseball as a whole is going to be ready for the start of the season, but we'll see. For right now, as we sit here on July 2nd, we're what, exactly 3 weeks away from the first game of the season?
Yeah.
So, wow, that's...
Cole versus Scherzer on opening day? Is that the rumor?
Yeah, or I guess it could be Strasburg.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But either way...
I'd love it to be Scherzer. Oh, yeah.
They
have a little more juice to me.
Yeah, for sure.
But Strasburg's great, too.
Yeah, that would be what? Battle of two former number one picks?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so then we have Rob Manfred opening his mouth, which you knew was going to lead to trouble.
Yeah, it's not what you want.
Said we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went. What the hell is he thinking?
Well, maybe he felt bad for the players and he's like, I'm going to make this grievance really easy for you guys. Because that's basically what he just did.
I mean, was Tony Clark not, like, simultaneously mad as hell, but also jumping up and down because his grievance case just was given a massive boost?
Oh, they got him right then and there. I mean, what else is there now? Like, how can you – he's going to have to walk that back in some shape or form.
Yeah, he's definitely going to try to say, like, oh, I meant like that we weren't going to play more than 60 because of, like, the pandemic is what I meant, not because like we wouldn't have agreed to anything else.
Yeah. But
which he easily could have worded differently if that's what he meant.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny though. But yeah, no, I mean, come on, we knew this the whole time. Every player knew it. And I'm glad he said it, and I know he'll did, you know, kinda come up with some way to spin it so it doesn't seem that way, but dude, like, I don't know. I don't trust the institution.
No, definitely not.
How could you? I mean, they just screw, you know, they don't care. They care about themselves, which is sad, but what are you going to do? I don't know. Hopefully this just speeds any kind of grievance up so we can just get back to baseball quicker. But yeah, I guess. Yeah, what are you gonna do?
I think the most ridiculous part was how he was like, you know, he said it's about the calendar. We're playing 60 games in 63 days right now. I don't see, given the reality of the health situation over the past few weeks, how we were going to get going any faster than the calendar we're on right now, no matter what the state of those negotiations were. I mean, but
that's your own fault.
Yeah, we were pushed back this far, not really because of the virus, which was actually, you know, cases were actually down before all these recent spikes when, you know, you could have returned back to play weeks ago. I mean, there was talk about trying to get back on the 4th of July and be the first sport back. They're in this spot because they kept turning down every MLBPA's proposal and, you know, then going through the ridiculous crap of like, oh, like this is a non-starter. Like, we don't even know if we're going to come back with a counter, and just stalling as long as they could to get to the point where 60 games was the only option. Like, this is, I don't know. I cannot believe he even thought it would be a good idea to talk about this.
I mean, I can, because he doesn't seem to know what the hell to say and what not to say at all times. So, just I don't know. Baseball's in bad hands. That's what I think.
Oh, no, that absolutely is. And then you know, now it's pretty – for the players, when they do file this grievance, it's going to be pretty damn easy to say that, you know, the negotiations themselves were just a complete sham. It was just an effort to push back a potential start date as long as possible until 60 games was the only option. Yep. And they have the commissioner on record literally saying that 60 games was their only option. So couple that quote with the behavior of the owners and Manfred over the past month or so, and it becomes pretty obvious that they did not negotiate in good faith.
Yeah, it's going to be a battle, but I don't know. At least just try to enjoy if we get baseball this year, because I have a feeling in a couple of years we're going to miss a whole season with the way that they're handling things.
Yeah, and obviously history shows that you know, fans will come back, but it'll be interesting to see how many potential fans that could have become fans that will be lost, or really casual fans that will be lost if you've already missed, you know, 100 games of this season and then a year later lose an entire season, what that's going to do to the game. But not good. Not good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, there's enough crazy rules that they're putting in for this already, and that Manfred's toyed with, so I don't know. It's all crazy to me. But, you know, like we said, on July 23rd, when DeGrom when Cole or Scherzer throw the first pitch, we'll be all in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It'll be time to go. It'll be start complaining about something else. I don't know what.
Stanton not being in the lineup or something like that.
Probably, but maybe not.
Or Cole, giving up, you know, a couple runs over five innings.
Yeah, that'd be horrible.
Everyone will be freaking out about that.
Yeah, people will be like, oh, they shouldn't have gave him this deal, even though it's what fans have wanted forever. Yeah. it's going to be interesting, man. But we'll see. I don't know.
I guess last piece of new news came yesterday, that the Yankees aren't going to be in the Field of Dreams game anymore, which we kind of knew was going to happen.
Yeah, because they're only playing local games. Yeah.
Can't go all the way out to Iowa right now.
Yeah, I did not care even a little bit to open up the link to read the article, honestly. I know you were kind of excited about it, but I honestly just wasn't that pumped up about the Field of Dreams game. I really like the movie, but you're not even playing on the actual Field of Dreams. You're building a new field.
Yeah, that already made it dwindle for me in terms of excitement.
And it just screams like money grab.
Well, Well, yeah, of course. What does baseball do that isn't?
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, so now it's the Cardinals instead of the Yankees.
Well, it's a nice classic franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I'll certainly still watch it.
I might.
I'm going to probably watch any baseball game I can once it comes back because it's been so long.
It's been a while. But I think the schedule is going to be pretty compact. You'll have tons of Yankee games to watch, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think the odds are that we actually get a season?
I'd say the odds are in like the 30-70 range in my mind.
34-70 against?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about you?
It's funny because I was going to say 25-75, so we're pretty much right.
Close, yeah.
Right, yeah. Right next to each other. Very interesting. So, we'll see. Yeah. You know what I was thinking about today?
What?
It's kind of off topic, but I was just thinking about it for some reason. What Yankee, for like just like each season, like symbolizes that year for you? Like 2017, I instantly think of Aaron Judge. 2016, I instantly think of Gary Sanchez. Do you have any years like that that you're just like, I'm thinking about that guy if I think about a certain year?
Yeah, 2018 for me is Stanton because he was really good, like the Yankees, won 100 mm-hmm. games. But the Yankees were also like one of the more – the 2018 Yankees were one of the more like frustrating 100 win teams I've watched.
Yeah.
Because they went through those lulls and, you know, playing 500 ball against teams like the Orioles. And then – so then you had, you know, Stanton, who was an MVP – having a really good season and then just was like completely frustrating in the playoffs.
So that's a good one for 2018.
And then for 2019, it would probably be LeMahieu, I would say, in terms of like, you know, one of the many guys who you weren't expecting much from and wound up being amazing. So like him and the Gio Urshelas and Mike Talkmans and all those guys. So I would say LeMahieu for 2019.
That's a good one.
I'm trying to think of 2013. I'd say someone like Lyle Overpay.
That's exactly why I started thinking about that. Because somebody tweeted, what was the most random Yankee home run you ever saw? And I was thinking, I saw like fans give Lyle Overpay a standing ovation when he pinch hit once because they were so desperate for offense and he hit a home run. And I'm like, I always think 2013, it's either Overpay or, to be fair, Soriano was a big one.
Oh, in 2013
as well. But definitely Overpay summarized the season.
Yeah.
Pretty well.
Soriano would be the one I would pick if we were just doing like second half of 2013 or something like that.
That's fair. 2018, though, I was thinking more of like maybe Miguel Andujar because definitely ton of potential, a lot of talent, but there was something sort of off. And with Andujar, it was his defense the whole time. And, you know, with the team, it just never got together. But yeah, I was thinking maybe more like Gio for last year or LeMahieu. But Gio was just even more unexpected. Like, holy crap, where'd this guy come from? And it was fitting because both the guys we mentioned almost saved the season together, but
yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I just was thinking about that. I wanted to get your opinion on it.
And then 2015, definitely A-Rod.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. That was a really fun year for A-Rod.
So electric in the first half, and then just slowly started to fade into what would be his 2016 season before he retired.
Yeah, I would say A-Rod 2009 and 2015, pretty right there. So, I don't know. Man, I rewatched the video, somebody posted it on Twitter, of when the pop-up with Jeter and A-Rod.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, who was wrong? And it's like, A-Rod is wrong on the play, but Jeter's so wrong afterwards. Like, he doesn't even go after the ball. That's like, wow. But it's fun times.
I know. Maybe. That was That was definitely interesting. Definitely. Yeah. Nobody brought out Jeter's, like, quote-unquote human side more than A-Rod in terms of, like, Jeter's flaws as, like, a person who's pretty clearly struggles to forgive.
Yeah, yeah. A lot like Jordan in that way, I think. I've been watching the Last Dance and definitely see similarities between the two of them in terms of their competitiveness and how at times it plays to their detriment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what are you going to do? I mean, it's what makes them great.
Oh, God, yeah. Still miss watching Jeter play like crazy. Even if he hated the person he was playing right next to. I miss watching A-Rod play, too. He's probably the best hitter I've ever seen.
Yeah, he was good. I saw him hit 2 home runs in 1 inning once. That was crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
But I don't know. I really like the team like right now. I feel like it's more fun and easy to watch. Like, there was an uncomfortable feeling watching some of the, like, mid-2000 teams, the mid to late 2000 teams.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, up until 09, A-Rod really stuck out like a sore thumb on those teams. And then he came back and he did better.
Yeah, with a brief hiccup in 2012 around playoff time.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? Like, all right, so, like, the aftermath with him giving his number to the girls in the stands and whatnot is bad, but he was the first person to greet Ibanez after he gets pitched
and he was super excited.
Yeah, that to me is really important because that's right. That's like what being a part of a team is rooting for each other, even when you're not the one that's doing the job. And you know, baseball's a team sport, but all based on individual efforts. And you know, that was 100% the right call by Girardi. A-Rod got blown away by Jim Johnson, right? In game 2, I remember. So, you know, it was good for him to recognize that. I don't know if Jeter would have been the same way, because Jeter would have taken it as a slight. Yeah, like, I know, and I mean, he's one of my favorite Yankees ever. I know Jorge Posada would not have been cool with that.
Probably wouldn't even have been in the dugout anymore.
He's batting 9th, so he needed a break.
Yeah.
That was crazy. But anyway.
All right, yeah, I think that's all that's going on right now. So, I don't know. Do you want to say what you're looking forward to this week? Maybe just like hoping for no negative Yankee injury updates now that we've got a few positive ones.
Yeah, that's fair, right? I'm looking for just looking forward to. I mean, guys have reported back, so we'll start gearing up. I don't think any Yankees have opted out of playing, so hopefully that doesn't pop up. If a guy does, though, I mean, can you blame him? You know, I'd rather, you know, it's more important to be protective of your family and of yourself. So, yeah, I'm just, you know, hopefully we start to get a little more news trickling out about them getting ready. And hopefully we have more of a sense of comfort with them actually coming back rather than right now where we feel very uncertain. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, sounds good.
That's all I got.
And just a quick reminder before we go is to not trash players who decide to sit out the season, because that's just a stupid thing to do. And obviously I've already seen plenty of that on social media because people are idiots. But
that's
don't
true.
Be an idiot. And thanks to everyone for listening. We're 1 week closer to potentially seeing baseball. We'll see. Hopefully come next week the outlook is a little more positive around the country. Time will tell, but until then, everyone stay safe, wear a mask, and we will talk to you next week.
Oh, and before we go, I wanted to add in.
Nope.
If any Yankee fans, like, you know, like our age, want to see some old highlights, there's a YouTube account that's been posting a lot of old ones. I know I've sent you one, but like random games, like Yankees Twins 1998, like something like that. It's Italic NY. And he's has a lot of good Gary Thorne calls too. And I've really been enjoying watching some of those highlights while we're in quarantine, like a random Tino Martinez home run against, you know, the Indians from 2001 or a Bernie Grand Slam from 93. It's, you know, it's cool to go back and watch the old guys and I'll tell you, the MSG announcers still get me pumped up and remind me of when the team was great.
Yeah. No, after
watching a couple of those, I went back and listened to the old like Yankees on MSG intro.
Those were the best. Definitely missed the Yankees on MSG.
Yeah. MSG had, with the Yankees intro and the old Rangers intro, the best two sports intros that there were for a while.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry on that tangent. I just thought it was cool. And any Yankee fans out there that are about our age would, I'm sure, appreciate some of those highlights.
Yeah, no, definitely check those out. I mean, I know I've kind of worn out Yankees playoff highlights over the past few years during this quarantine time.
I've been watching some Mets highlights. I'm getting so bored.
All right, well, I hope I don't get to that point because there's not many to choose from.
Yeah, it's basically like
David Wright's home run.
Yeah. Well, the Granderson homers of the World Series I like to watch too. Yeah. I like the Grandy.
We love Granderson.
Yep. Come on the podcast. Okay.
All right. thanks, everyone, for listening. Talk to you next week.